From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour is going to be made on Sunday, where more than a dozen local musicians, 16 different songs, a lot of musicians taking the stage to share some of their newest work. The artists were selected to perform their version of a song called That's Where I'll Be. That's the latest title in the annual If All Rochester Wrote the Same Song. The contest invites the community to send their version of that song, and some of the submissions include collaborations among artists. I tried to do this. It's very hard, and it's a lot of fun, and it's such a cool idea. All they give you is the song title, and then, songwriters, it is up to you. As you know, our city is home to many talented singers and songwriters and musicians of all backgrounds, and the organizers behind If All Rochester Wrote the Same Song, and the team from a new music studio that is opening around Iroquois is here today. We're going to talk about a lot of cool stuff happening on the music scene. We'll get you ready for the show on Sunday. They've even invited me to be part of it, which is a big mistake that they will regret. It's going to be great. Kelly Izzo Shapiro made that mistake of inviting me to be part of it. She's a singer-songwriter, producer of If All Rochester Wrote the Same Song. She's also performing tonight at the Little Theater because she's crazy and she never stops moving. All the Wednesdays in May.
Yep, all the Wednesdays in May, 7 to 9. If you want to hear some original music and see what I do, because I won't be doing much of... I'll just be running the show on Sunday.
I'm running the show on Sunday, but performing on Wednesdays in May at the Little Theater, Never Stop Moving, Kelly. Welcome. Thanks for coming back here. Sarah Duvalier is with us, the songwriter, producer, composer, musician, band leader for If All Rochester Wrote the Same Song. Has been recording some music in this cool studio. There's all kinds of cool stuff to talk about. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad to be back here, Evan.
Are you better rested than Kelly?
I don't know. The band leader position is actually a kind of a lot.
It's a lot.
Although I will say that she's been working on the show for many, many more months. I know exactly what it takes because I was a producer of the show last year, and I knew I'd be releasing this album and what's going on in my life right now way ahead of time. So I was like, Kelly, I can't do it. It's all you. So, but yeah, no, I'm pretty busy myself.
I mean, there's 16 versions of That's Where I'll Be. How many do you perform on?
Everything.
All of them.
I'm the band leader, so.
Well, I mean, I thought maybe there might be a few they could, like, let you stretch your
legs. Well, hold on. Okay, I'm sorry. There is one band, the Kids in the Basement. They are actually going to be going up and doing it themselves. They don't utilize the house band, so correction. There is one song I'm not at all on. But all the other songs, yeah, every single one, because I'm playing like piano, accordion, keyboards, background vocals. So, you know, there's always something that can be added. So, yeah, I'm on every other song.
Well, welcome as well to Nicole Tones, the owner of the Tones Studios. Welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Where's Tones Studio?
Tones Studios is on Winton Road in Irondequoit, right before Empire. And it's just tucked away in this beautiful stucco, beigey kind of building that's really funny looking, but it's beautiful at the same time on the inside.
How long have you been open?
We've been open for 4 years and renovating the entire building, those entire 4 years, and we just finished, and it's absolutely stunning.
Well, welcome. Thanks for being here. And Brian Moore is the engineer at Tone Studios. Thank you for making time.
Oh, thanks for having us.
A couple of events to tell you about. Why don't we make sure we get your calendars all set? So this Sunday, Kelly, tell people when and where you want them to be. That's where they'll be when.
Yes, you will be at at the Little Theater at 4 p.m. on Sunday to see If All Rochester Wrote the Same Song. Show is family friendly, so bring your kids. It runs about 90 minutes, and it's going to be a great time.
$20 general admission. And you're going to hear some little snippets of different versions of what the songwriters across Rochester created for the version this year. So, and you've invited me to be part of it, and I'm very excited to be there.
We're so excited to have you.
I'm happy to just help introduce and be part of it and root on the great musicians and just be amazed at the quality and the talent. I mean, this has been going on for how many years now, Kelly?
I think this is the seventh one, right, Sarah?
This is the seventh show.
Yeah.
Over the course of 10 years,
yeah.
But this is the seventh show.
There was a couple years break because of the COVID, but yeah, this is the second consecutive after COVID.
There's so much talent. And Kelly, 16 selections this year. How many songs were submitted?
Almost 70.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Probably... Probably some tough choices were made there.
And there was so much variety in the submissions, like even more than last year. It was really, really tough to choose.
What's the single best one?
Oh, no. We could say which ones are our favorites, maybe. But...
I'm now, not going to go there.
I mean, there's so many different genres. And for listeners, yeah, that's what's really cool about this is all the songwriters have is the song title, but the genres really run the gamut. And you'll hear some of that coming up this hour. So that is on this Sunday. That's happening 4 p.m. at the Little. The doors open. Little number one, by the way. Doors open at 3:30. Now, Sarah, what else is coming up that you want people to know about?
Yeah, so May 31st from 5 to 9, we're going to have a album listening experience hosted by Tones Studios, and it's also going to include a studio tour. So basically, we'll have timed listenings of my new album called The Healing, and it's totally free, and not only can you come and like get some refreshments and network and tour the studio, but also sit in the main control room and listen through these amazing this amazing monitoring system, the album, which is like roughly 35 minutes long. And yeah, so that's what we'll be doing. And
two Fridays from now, Friday night.
Yes.
May 31st, 5 to 9.
Yep. And it's totally free. We are recommending that people RSVP to make sure that they have a spot in the control room because we want everyone to be comfortable and not too squished. But pretty much anytime between 5 and 9, you can stop by and check out the studio and then listen to the album.
What's really cool about this, and we're going to talk to the folks from Tones coming up here, is there are so many talented musicians. And if, you know, if you're like me and you just want a great engineer or you don't really trust yourself with all the new tech that's out there, we still need great studios. I mean, I know there's a lot of tech that makes people think they can do everything on their own. And maybe you feel like you can. But I've kind of grown up with a couple brothers who are great musicians. Both left college for a spell to travel and tour the Midwest. And, you know, I got a chance to hang in the studio when they were recording. And to have a great engineer, to have a great studio behind you, is an amazing experience just to see how smart and what the craft is like. And so we're going to be talking about that coming up. But 5 to 9, it's a great chance if you've never done that or if you're interested in that scene. 5 to 9 on Friday, May 31st. Check it out. See what you like there. Listen to some great music, right?
Yeah, and if you've never been in a studio before, I mean, this is a chance. I think this is a really cool chance for people to kind of see where the sausage is made. And thankfully, it's, you know, a much nicer place than a sausage factory. So.
But Brian Moore, I have GarageBand.
Nice. That's great.
I mean, does it drive you crazy? Does the GarageBands of the world drive you crazy?
No, it's a great tool. And people can do recordings at home. I think it's awesome. I would have loved to have it when I was younger. But I think having someone handle all the technical stuff so that you can be a creative artist in that space is really key. Making it go fluidly and quickly and, you know, just allows the artists to be themselves.
I think that's a great, very humble answer. But yeah, I mean, it's nothing wrong with GarageBand. I mean, I'm having fun joking about it. But hey, if you want to noodle around and record and have fun, but we're talking a different level here. I mean, is that fair to say, Nicole? Different level.
Yeah, I would say so. Top notch and perfectionism is a big thing at Tones. We have some really great engineers, and at Tones, if we're going to do something, we're going to do it great. And so it just goes right down to starts at our building and it goes right down to the soul and the heart of our team, which is our people that are there.
A great studio to me is like watching Bob Ross paint, where you're like, dude, you're done. Why are you adding a little tree there? What are you doing? And then you're like, oh, no, that's perfect.
Yeah.
I didn't see it myself. I didn't know that would be great.
Correct.
And, you know, when you're in a studio, you're like, I don't know. Do we need this? Do we need to blow? And then you're like, oh, my gosh. That's why there's professionals. You're also, you're the Bob Ross of music.
I've used that comparison.
You actually have?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a metaphor for sonic landscapes. Like, you are kind of crafting something that in your mind's eye is drawing you in the same way visual art does. I went to school for fine art as well. So like it kind of connects, you know, the creative sort of people connect in a lot of different ways. So you might have a musician who you find out is also an actor, or you might have a painter who does sound audio engineering. So it's all connected, I think. It's the sensitivity to creativity and then making something.
Why was I always scared that Bob was ruining that painting when he would add like, you know, something on the mountain? And you're like, no, don't touch that snow. Don't do it. And you're like, no, you're a genius. It's so much better now. No, I mean, it's an interesting comparison. So great minds, anyway, think alike there. Mm-hmm. But what was the experience like for you doing some of this work here?
So, you know, I've been recording for a long time now, and I actually record in a number of different ways, including in my own home studio. And, you know, I think there's a time and a place for that, especially, you know, making demos. But even some aspects of this new album, I actually did record in my home studio. But I think, like, what I really get the most out of doing it in a studio like Tone Studios really is, as Nicole said, like, the people and the atmosphere is a really big thing. You know, obviously, like, the nice, expensive equipment that I can't necessarily afford is a huge perk. But I think at the end of the day, you know, the last thing I did on this album was adding my vocals, and that was really just me and Brian. That's something that, like, I could do in my home studio, and I have done for other projects. But for this, I think just having somebody that I really trust kind of not just engineer, but also say, like, no, that works, that's good. Or, you know what, let's do it a couple more times. Like, that's an extremely valuable thing to have, you know, to have somebody that you can kind of bounce off of and also give you, like, appropriate feedback. And honestly, so you don't feel alone, because a lot of times it does feel very solitary to be making music, which is cool. But I think that it's very valuable to have professional there, like, not just pushing the buttons, but being a soundboard and kind of helping guide you in this very challenging at times process.
Is that part of your role as well as the band leader for If All Rochester Wrote the Same Song?
Ooh, wow, that was a good segue.
It's the only skill I have.
Yeah, so. No, I that's really interesting. So you mean kind of like, am I sort of like Brian, but yeah, in that
Are you adding an idea about what a song needs?
Yeah.
Because that can be very personal for songwriters.
Totally.
And, you know, they're giving you their baby, and, you know, you're suggesting a tweak, and it's like,
Yes, definitely. You know, it really depends, like, song to song and who the songwriter is. Some of them are so much more like, you know, they really need a lot more kind of guidance and help. And then some of them are more experienced and they have, like, very specific ideas. And I would say even in those situations, like, yeah, I do have to kind of step into that role of whether it's refining things to make it more like what they clearly have a vision of, or helping them create a vision because they're not really sure. Like, they have the song, but it's so stripped down that they don't necessarily know how to, like, really bring it to life and how to dress it up. The one difference, though, for me is, like, because it's not just I'm the band leader, but there is a band, you know, and I am directing them, but they're totally giving me feedback. So it's kind of like there's five Brians, you know, of varying degrees. So I'm kind of like Brian number one and really taking this whole thing a little too far. But yeah, so, you know, so it is a little different in that sense. But in a way, that's pretty cool, too, because then I can look at, you know, Dave, who's the drummer, and be like, what do you think here? And he'll be like, oh, I think this. Or Eric, the bass player. Oh, yeah. Like, why don't we try this? So there's more people to collaborate with in that scenario. But yes, I am very much in that position.
Well, in the early days of If All Rochester Wrote the Same Song, some of the song titles were evocative of some of the more sort of off the wall country titles. Like, if you remember songs like I don't know whether to get drunk or go bowling, or I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy. Songs like that. The first one was, I think those are real songs, but the first version of Vol Rochester wrote was, don't go drinking on an empty heart. Don't go drinking on an empty heart. Thank you, producer Megan May. Don't go drinking on an empty heart. And, you know, when you've got the Scott Regans and his ilk, they can spin amazing yarns with stories like that. And over time, you know, some of the song themes have been a little bit perhaps winking at you. You thought we were winking at the pandemic last year with What I Missed, but it turned out most of the songwriters didn't touch the pandemic. They were writing about their own lives or their own experiences far apart from the COVID experience. And now That's Where I'll Be. Where did that one come from, Kelly?
Well, we tossed around a bunch of different titles this year. It was really hard because last year it was so easy. What Did I Miss seemed like the perfect title because we had all gone through this long, crazy pandemic, and it felt like that something people could really connect to. This year, my goal was really to keep it open-ended as open-ended as possible so that, you know, we could pull in as much variety and people could spin it in tons of different directions. And I was honestly amazed with how creative everyone got with it. There were a couple that were close to being chosen, but this one had the most positive sort of like ability to be positive, whereas some of them kind of leaned a little bit more negatively, and we didn't want a show full of sad tunes. So,
and what are some of the examples of song titles that just missed the cut? Give us all of them. What is next year's title?
Honestly, Evan, I can't even remember. I have like a note in my phone somewhere with just tons of them, but I truly cannot remember the others.
Amazing.
The others. There were so many.
There's a lot, yeah. And there's going to be one for next year.
I hope so, you know.
You're committing to it right now.
Uh-oh.
Well, you see, I'm actually going to go back to grad school, so I'm hoping I can at least get a partner if we're going to do it again. If anybody out there listening wants to take on a giant chunk of work, my website is kellyezoshapiro.com. You can email me there.
What is the website for If All Rochester Wrote the Same Song?
Rochestersongs.com.
Rochestersongs.com. Should we listen to some music from this showcase? Should we listen to some music from Tones as well? I think we should just listen to some music. I think the world needs a little bit of a musical interlude, a break to sort of fill up our cups. There's been a lot of heavy stuff in the world, and there will be a lot of heavy stuff in the world, but then there's music, and we're grateful for that. So I'm going to start with a sum of what we hear in If All Rochester Wrote the Same Song. Let's start with Amanda Chow's version of That's Where I'll Be. And this is primarily an acoustic guitar-driven song. Let's listen to a little bit of that, and we'll talk about it.
Chapter has its end. Close it for safekeeping, and another begins again. All of the years in a lifetime, they could never be enough. But when we have to say goodbye, there's a place I'm thinking of. One where waves all stay. In the cards, but we wrote our stories anyway. Remember when we're miles apart, I wouldn't change a single day. And after tears and memories, oh, after here with everything we shared, that's where I'll be.
Kelly, was this an easy one where you're like, yeah, this?
Yeah.
That's a yes.
Amanda's fantastic.
Amanda is fantastic. Amanda Chow, if you're listening, got a lot of fans. Is that what we're hearing here? Is that what we're going to hear? Or is there?
Oh, no.
There's more.
Oh, so much more. Yes. I'm really excited about this one, actually. This is one of the exciting ones, like not just because it's a great song, but because it's so stripped down that we could like really build it up. So, yeah, the whole band is in this one. So.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Let's go down the list. Let's listen to Enzo. Enzo, primarily a piano-driven one, though, as we're hearing from Sarah, you're hearing like the bones.
Yes.
There's going to be a lot more meat on these.
Yeah, these are the demos that people sent in.
These are the demos. So this is from Enzo to Jesus on That's Where I'll Be.
Sometimes the rain doesn't stop falling down. Take my hand if you don't wanna drown. I know that you're stronger than this, so why are you broken?
Now he's just showing off. Kelly, what did you think of this one?
This was another one, when I heard it, I was like, who is this guy?
Yeah, exactly.
Me too. It sounds great. Yeah.
It turns out it was AI.
Yeah. No, he's actually very young. He's like 20 years old or something.
Wow. I think 19.
19 or 20.
He's like in his first year of college.
Yeah. 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 He really blew me away.
And really humble, super sweet. Like, can I call him a kid? I think I'm old enough now. Anyway, I love Enzo. I love the song, but I also love him. So very excited to do this one.
The next one, Maria, it's Gillard, I think.
Yep.
Maria Gillard. Let's listen to Maria Gillard's part of her submission for That's Where I'll Be.
Along the misty shore where the waves churn up the leaves, under the bright light of the moon on Christmas Eve, gliding through the waters of my memories, if you're looking for me, that's where I'll be. Out in the green garden, digging in the dirt, wiping off the sweat with my old blue working shirt, cultivating roses.
Right after your own heart, Kelly Izzo Shapiro.
This one's one of my favorite ones to do, too, because Sarah and Maria and I get to do this beautiful three-part harmony on those little choruses.
It's
going to
be the best three-part harmony.
I'm so excited. When we did it in the rehearsal, like, I was like, oh, this is what I do this for.
I kept looking around like, is anyone else hearing this? Yeah. It sounds so good.
Yeah. So you are going to be performing.
I will be on stage. I'm singing backup vocals on a bunch of the songs, but, it's... It's really about the songwriters and on Sunday.
There's Maria Gillard. Phil Broykos has one. Again, a kind of acoustic guitar driven. You're hearing the submissions. You're hearing essentially what they sent for consideration. The full version, you're going to have to wait for Sunday. Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock, the doors will open at 3:30 at the Little Theater number 1. Sunday at 4, it's about a 90-minute performance, the live performance of If All Rochester Wrote the Same Song. $20 tickets for general admission. They are available online at rochestersongs.com.
Yep, and at the little website, too.
At the little website as well, at thelittle.org. Let's listen to Phil Broykos.
Once upon November, my memory. Remember a brilliant melody across a stolen river, reflection in the water, your smile in a dream. Then the day will break around me, and the sun begins to shine. That is when I'm lost again, the time to say goodbye. Though summer days were empty, the chaos never left me, like fireflies in June. The weight upon my shoulders gives way to marching orders, the poppies in full bloom. Then the darkness will surround me.
So this is Phil Broykos, and I'm really curious to know what Sarah DeValier would do with this. I guess I'm going to find out real soon, but...
Well, so Phil you know, Phil has a lot of ideas, but he's great because he's got ideas, but he seems to also at least give he likes to give me freedom to also kind of do my own thing a little bit. So on this one, he wanted accordion. And I was very excited about that because last year I played accordion on one tune, and this year I'm going to do it on two tunes. So I'm like,
the world
yes,
needs more accordion. More accordion, for sure.
Yeah. So so there's not accordion throughout the whole thing, but I was like, yeah, that could work. And yeah, this is another one I'm super excited about. I'm kind of excited about all of them, but this is up there for sure.
That's Phil Broykos. We got two more on the list here. 16 total songs, all part of If All Rochester Wrote the Same Song. All songwriters were given was the title. And the title is That's Where I'll Be. Tad Wadhams is next up. It's Wadhams, I think. Mm-hmm. Let's listen to Tad.
Everybody's looking for a place to away from the chatter and away from the constant now. If I couldn't turn off the motor, it's constantly driving me, it's constantly driving me, constantly driving me. That's where I'll be.
This is bouncy, this is a fun one. Where I'll be. Yeah, and it's a little bit of a different vibe, which, you know, you're going for a range, right, Kelly?
Oh, yeah, there's a huge range. I think every single song is in a little bit of a different feel.
Yeah.
You know, there's really not a lot of repetition, which has been my goal from the start. And that was our goal last year, too,
yep.
to bring in as much variety and as many genres and people of different ages and different perspectives as possible.
I mean, that's a lot going on already there. What can you add to Tad there, Sarah?
Well, this is an example of, you know, Tad had a very fleshed out arrangement.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
In this case, it's not so much adding. It's actually just kind of helping guide the rest of the band through the arrangement and making sure we're hitting all the really important spots. And yeah, so yeah, there wasn't really much to add on this one. And Tad is great. He's a very cool guy with a lot of cool stories to share because he used to live in LA. He's originally from Rochester, but he used to live in LA and he like toured with a bunch of people, including Sheryl Crow. He's like co-written with Sheryl Crow. He's like, and that's, you know, to add to what Kelly was saying, like that's what's so cool about this show. Like we try to get all kinds of people, including all kinds of experience as musicians and songwriters. And so he's way up there, you know, with experience, but just equally as like excited to be a part of the show.
Well, let's listen to one more. And this is from Taurus Savant. Let's listen to Taurus.
Let me tell you something real. This world is big, so small, despite how you feel. It's better to do it now than not at all.
That's Taurus Savant. I think he's been a part of past showcases too, Kelly. Yep.
Yeah, he was a part of it last year, and his song last year was great. But this year, I felt like he's grown even more as a songwriter. It was really cool for him to hear his submission this year because you can see kind of where he's going with his music from last year. So,
what are you hearing there, Sarah Duvalier? You're like the same person to me now.
I have to say, since no one can see what's going on here, like everybody in this room was like bobbing their head to that one. This is another one where actually, you know, we don't need to add so much to it because in this case, like, I mean, we could, but honestly, I feel like really the centerpiece is Taurus's singing. So in this case, we're not really doing much more than what you're hearing. It feels, you know, more like robust because there's actual musicians doing it, but we're more just kind of lifting up those vocals and not trying to cover it up at all. And it's a real, like, you know, it's a pretty like bopping song. So.
And Taurus is like such a fun performer. Yeah. Like he just brings so much energy. I think the band is lifted by that. You know, like everybody just has this fun energy during that song, which makes it feel even more exciting.
Yep. Well, before we take our only break, then we're going to come back and listen to some of Sarah DeValier's work here. We're going to take you inside tones, and we're going to really talk about, you know, the process of kind of going deep and creating. And I'm having a great time talking music this hour. Before we take that break and kind of pivot a little, I just want to ask Kelly Izzo Shapiro, who is the producer if all Rochester wrote the same song, what do you still love about this? Like, because it's so much work, and you are, you know, you're probably exhausted. But when you actually get to the day, what do you love most?
I grew up here. I grew up in Brockport, and I started doing music in Rochester when I was like 13. And people like Steve Piper, who's a part of our band, like took me under their wing, was so kind, you know, showcased me, gave me opportunities, cheered me on. And, you know, now that I'm like a little bit older, I'm not old by any means, but now that I'm an adult, my goal is to just keep bringing people together in the community because it's so important to have a strong creative community around. It really lifts everybody up, whether you're like an audience member or a creative person or someone who's aspiring to be a creative person. Like that's why I continue to do it. It's really worth it to me.
I just want to say one of the things I think is really important about your perspective there is it is so easy to get down in your own rabbit hole of your own life. And I am not judging people who do. People are very busy. Some people are raising kids. Some people feel like that's all I do is chase around a child and then go to work and then try to not be exhausted.
We do those things too, though, we are both parents of young children.
I know. I'm kind of winking at that. And as busy as you are, your decision is that I still want to feel like I'm part of a community and building a community and connecting a community. Because as much as we are connected in so many ways with tech, we are more sort of adrift on our own in many ways. And that's the kind of the sad irony of modern technology. So I just think efforts like this really matter, getting people together in person, letting people just focus for 90 minutes on music and on songwriting and on community. And doing that together. I think it's great. I think it's so important. So I'm so glad you're still doing it and you're going to do it next year. That's great. or someone will. Someone will. If All Rochester Wrote the Same Song is Sunday at 4 at the Little Theater. Rochestersongs.com for information. They'd love to see you there. Let's take this only break. We'll come back and listen to some more music. I'm Evan Dawson. Thursday on The Next Connections, we examine the foster care system. We'll talk to people inside the system, and over the years, there has been plenty of criticism and also plenty of calls for more support, good people to join that system and take care of kids. And we're going to talk about where things are and hear some personal stories on Thursday. I just want to say that I think Nicole Tones was crying.
Maybe twice.
During our brief break, we were talking about the music. That was some good stuff, wasn't it?
It was wonderful. And I'm so excited to actually attend this event. I'm like really, really excited about this.
I mean, you're just hearing the bare bones of it. What?
And my favorite part is this part where it's bare and all of a sudden you get to fill in like what's coming and you can just hear it. And one of our producers at our studio, Andrew, he says things like, just kind of let the song write itself. And that really changed the way I saw songwriting was when I realized that the song really can write itself and I can hear that happening in those songs. And I'm just really excited about that.
Nicole Tones is the owner of Tones Studios in Irondequoit. Before Tones Studios, what was your path to doing something like that?
So my husband, Jason, is an attorney, and he had his own law firm, and he just felt the need to let that go and to go into business with me. And so he and I just sat down and we thought about things that we could do together, and the creative path just kind of found us. And we've always had a passion for music, and we came upon this building, and when we started to build it out, it kind of just formed into the desires of our heart, really. And the desires of our heart was just telling stories. And when you're able to tell stories, you can do it with music, which is a huge thing in our hearts, and also video. And so when we bring the two together in our studio, it just kind of came to be this beautiful place called Tone Studios, and that's how it came.
Your husband quit his job.
Well, he's still an attorney, but okay. Just kind of for us, really, instead of the public eye. But yeah.
Have you ever met a marriage counselor who would advise couples? One of you give up your career and work together all day.
Yeah, and he's wonderful. He's absolutely
And
wonderful.
It's worked out.
It has, yeah.
You guys should write a book. It's fantastic. You're having fun.
Yes, so much fun. It's like that thing that you think, like, wouldn't it be really cool if... And then all of a sudden, one day you wake up and there it is.
Brian Moore is an engineer at Tones. How do you enjoy working there?
I love it. It's a dream come true for me. I owned a studio before and then had a flood right before the pandemic from a pipe that burst and put me at home just working out of one of our rooms. Oof. And then I thought I was done doing studios, and then Tones reached out to me. I knew a couple of the employees there, and they invited me to get involved. So I'm thrilled.
Sarah, how do you find, as a musician yourself, how do you find a place like Tones?
Oh, I love it. I've been in a lot of studios, and, you know, I would say in some ways it's kind of, for me anyway, it's hard to pick and choose, like, what's my favorite. I mean, you get something different from each one. I definitely know when I go to a studio and I'm like, yeah, this is not a good fit for me, right? But Tones Studios is like definitely way up there, probably at the top. You know, and a lot of it is, it's not just because of all the things that I had mentioned before. It's like, I think so much of it is, it's a good fit for me. Because again, like the atmosphere, it feels, you know what it feels like? It feels like a blank canvas, like in the best way possible.
Perfect.
That's exactly what I need. Like, I don't need a place that's going to feed me ideas. Like, I've got the ideas, and the ideas that I don't have, I want them to come organically. So, like, the best way for that, for me, is a blank canvas versus, like, a place that's kind of just, like, looks a little too particular or feels a little too particular. Hopefully that makes sense.
I think so. Let's listen to some of the music. So you want to tell me, before we listen to St. Anne, Lame How You Go Down, All Is Not Lost, mm-hmm. What is this all from, Sarah Duvalier?
Well, I have a new album coming out on June 7th. Officially on June 7th, it will be available everywhere. It's called The Healing. And this album, it really stemmed from my own kind of experience with sort of like loss and grief and trauma, and kind of coming to terms with healing is a painful thing. And when you get through that, there is this like beautiful growth that comes from it.
Oh, look, they're blowing up your phone during this.
Oh, my God. Terrible. I silenced everything and it just didn't work. But yeah, so kind of the growth that comes from it, and that like feeling of hope at the end of it. So it's a journey, and that's what the album is. It's a journey. And I did all the vocals and a lot of the rhythm section at Tones Studios. And yeah, on May 31st, we're gonna have this like album listening party / experience / studio tour where you can like hear the album in the place where much of it was made.
Yeah. I regret to tell Sarah that all of your physical work that you just did to describe things with your hands. This is just a radio program.
I'm Italian, so for all you other Italian Americans and Italians out there,
I can't speak without your hands.
Yeah, I speak with my hands.
Let's listen first to some of St. Anne.
Pointing toward the heavens with an unfinished hand, The gesture of a mother speaks of knowing heaven's plan. Saint Anne. Saint Anne. Smiling at your daughter, only you can understand how her love is like no other for her son, the Son of Man. Saint Anne. Saint Anne, sketched in black and white, details drawn in chalk and charcoal, hazy shadows into light, from the brilliant mind of Leonardo. The mystery and the madness, a joy to mask the sadness. Saint Anne, Saint Anne.
You want to take us inside your mind here, what you're writing about here?
Actually, before I do that, I have to say, crazy connection, on this song is Sarah Long Hendershot doing background vocals. Yeah, and she's got a really cool vocalization section at the end. And for anybody who doesn't know, she is the one who created If All Rochester Wrote the Same Song. Wow, there's so many connections here. What was going on in my mind? To be honest, this song came out of a prompt, and the prompt was to kind of like just pick a page from a book and then write about that page. So I opened up my gigantic Leonardo da Vinci biography that I had, and I pointed on a page that was all about this particular unfinished piece called Saint Anne. There's a finished version, but I focused on the unfinished version. And, you know, as it usually is, like, even though it's a prompt and it seems a little bit, when I put it that way, it might at first seem contrived, but what always ends up happening is like you really inject yourself into whatever it is that you're writing about. And I've always had like, I don't know, an affinity slash like love for Leonardo da Vinci. And this one painting, I just found it really, really intriguing. The idea of like Saint Anne knowing the fate of the children, and the children being in this case like Jesus and John the Baptist, and sort of that like, you know, the sadness and darkness in that, not just like joy and happiness, even though everyone's smiling in this painting. And I thought, so it's sort of a reflection on Leonardo da Vinci's like brilliance, I guess. Again, even in this like unfinished painting, there's like so much going on and so much like exuding from it that makes me feel connected to it.
Nicole and Brian, what do you hear in that?
It's a beautiful song. I mean, I enjoy getting to sit back and listen when artists perform their own music, and it's great. It makes my job very easy. Yeah. I mean, I love... Now, see, I'm going into engineer mode. I loved the stereo spectrum.
Our audience loves wonky.
Okay, well, for me, I mean, I'm listening to all the harmonies between vocals and the slide guitar parts and just the way
pedal
it's
steel.
All... Oh, is it pedal
steel? Pedal
okay.
steel.
How it's all orchestrated together is just beautiful, and I just love how it turned out.
I love the movement of it. It makes me just want to move. Like I can feel like I'm driving in a car and this song is just coming over me. And I just really want to like absorb what you're saying. And it just makes me move. And I really enjoy that part of the song, I think, the most.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, definitely.
What did you hear, Kelly?
Well, actually, I got to hear this song in its infancy.
Yeah.
Because the prompt was part of a songwriting group that we did together mm-hmm. with a couple other songwriters. And so hearing it all fleshed out with the, you know, instruments and the piano and how it moves and Sarah's vocal that kind of just sort of hovers over everything else it's really cool.
It's a well-composed song. Sounds amazing. Let's listen to Lay My Ego Down. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Let's do that and then we'll talk about it.
This picture of us is fading fast. Is our labor of love a thing of the past? Or at the end of the day, is this a storm in a glass? Still, what will break and what will last?
I've gotta lay my ego down. I've gotta lay my ego down. The Cold War we're in has been a slow burn. We've been running on empty, taking more than
what's going on in this song? I'm very sad now.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So what really, this song actually kind of stirred on the whole premise of this album. So I wrote this song pretty much like 2 months before, I'm going to be real honest here, 2 months before I got served papers for divorce from my now ex-husband. And this song, when I wrote it in like just kind of one sitting in about an hour. And it was really just like me coming to terms with knowing I knew that things were falling apart. I didn't know that that was going to happen, but I kind of knew things were going to fall apart. And, you know, it is sad. But the thing is, like, what I found is that after everything fell apart, which happened to be right when COVID lockdown happened, like literally the same time. So it was like a lot of like truly isolation on a lot of levels for me. I found that this song, I would play it a lot at the piano by myself alone. And it would make me cry, but it would also make me feel better. And that's kind of all the songs on this album. They all kind of did that to me. I found them all very like soothing and healing in a lot of ways. So, you know, it is sad, but I think sometimes it's good to not feel alone. And it's kind of weird to say that because, you know, I wrote the song. So, well, but what, it's like I'm talking to myself.
What's the work that your ego's doing that you're worried about laying down? I'm very curious to know about that.
No, yeah, that's a good question. So what that means to me anyway is, you know, sometimes our egos, our desire to kind of always have ourselves in the focus, like keeps us from being able to really accept things for what they are and be able to move on, whether that means repair or move on.
Or acceptance.
Acceptance, yeah. Yes. Yeah. And also like accepting that maybe you did something wrong too. Maybe there's like, it's not even about blaming. It's about, just kind of accepting things for what they are and then being able to kind of like, you can't go back and change things, but you can take this forward and maybe become better because of it. I think it's very hard to do that if you are egocentric.
I mean, Nicole, were you crying on that one? Are you crying right now? Yeah. Oh my gosh, you really are.
I am.
Somebody send her that box of tissues.
She's a crier.
I even wrote a song named Cry, called Cry. But yeah, I definitely love the story behind music, like the song, like the story behind the song. Yeah. It's a story, right? And that's, again, storytelling is what I love the most in what we do. And so to hear passion and just a lot of personal stuff about that, it just makes it even better. And listening into it in my head again, like just hearing your voice and your heart behind it is just absolutely beautiful. It's really great.
Thank Boy, you. Brian Moore, engineer, what are you hearing there?
Yeah. All right. If Sarah was vulnerable, I'll be vulnerable. I cried when she recorded this one in the studio because, I mean, relationships are hard.
Yeah.
But that's the beautiful thing about art is you can represent in a way that other ways don't necessarily capture. So the emotion behind it is there. And, you know, I appreciate the vulnerability there. It's really good.
God, that's well said. I got to sneak this in before we go here. All is not lost. Let's listen to just a little bit of this one.
You worked so hard all your life to build what you thought. Thank you.
Is this another divorce song?
No.
Okay, it's not.
Yeah, I don't think you want to know what it's about, though, because it's even worse. It's so much worse. I will say this. I actually wrote this really for my friend whose husband tragically died.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and she had two very, very young children when this happened. I mean, I wrote it for her. I kind of wrote it for a lot of people that I knew that I felt at that time like their lives seemed like they were falling apart. So this was like a lot. I actually wrote this quite a while ago. But it was another one that, you know, I kept kind of playing on my own and singing and realizing like I wrote it for somebody else, but I find that it's helping me feel better.
Sure.
That probably happens a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Sarah, let me just jump in because you're about to hear the show music, which means we've hit the end of the hour. if you want to pick up Sarah DeValier's work, where do people find your work?
As well as RSVP, by the way, for the event May 31st, you can go to sdvmusic.com.
sdvmusic.com. Two Fridays from now, May 31st from 5 to 9 at Tones Studios, which is where, Nicole Tones?
At 1326 North Winton Road.
They'd love to see you there. I'm sure you're online. Where do people learn more about Tones?
Yeah, at tonestudios.com.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for crying. Brian Moore, engineer at Tones, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate your insight. And Kelly Izzo Shapiro, you're going to see Kelly tonight at the Little Theater performing as she does every Wednesday in May. Mm-hmm. But Kelly is the producer of If All Rochester Wrote the Same Song. Sunday, 4 p.m., the Little Theater number 1. I'll be there. Kelly will be there. Let's have some fun.
Yeah.
Congratulations on another. See you there. And from all of us at Connections, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.